go ahead and open up to Romans 8. And I'm not going to have you turn. I got a lot of scriptures here. We're going to cover a lot of ground, really, in about 45 minutes. But I have finally been able to receive something he's been trying to get across to me for years in a visual form that I think will help us. And it's some difficult verses. Dave labored on this and labored on this when he was first teaching us the Born Again Trail. I was one of the worst ones. What I mean is hard to get it. He kept saying it over and over. He would try and say it different ways. But boy, when you've been programmed a certain way, sometimes it is just really hard. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, who is not limited to just words in teaching. He can bring visions. He can bring dreams. He can bring pictures. And sometimes it takes that for me, to be honest with you. And I think after tonight, it's going to help you. So did I say go to Romans 8? Now, somebody today said that a couple of times when I would say turn to Mark, but I would never say the chapter. If I do that, somebody say chapter. It won't offend me, okay? Okay, well, you need to know where we're going. I know you have it all memorized. I know. All right, Romans 8. And we'll start in verse 9. Now, these are the three verses. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, first off, let me say this. In the King James, and maybe your Bible, whatever version you have, all of this, it may have capital S, okay? Mine does. In the King James, it has capital S. Dave is so correct when he says, the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans 8 is verse 16. Okay? That is, the Spirit, capital S should be, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the children of God. Now, all of these times before that where they have a capital S is not really right. It should be a little s. So just know that. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, there's two phrases there. One of them is the Spirit of him, and the other one is by his Spirit that dwelleth in us. And like most people, most of my life, just reading this passage, I thought that's the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. I mean, we all know the Holy Spirit is the one that raised Christ from the dead. We have no argument there. And so when I'd read this, well, that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, sounds like it should be the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, right? Well, it sounds right, but it's not right. And Dave how many of you were here when Dave first taught the Born Again Trail? Bless his heart. He just went over it, and then next week he'd go over it, and about 10 weeks later we're going, oh, Dave, please. But he knew that this would be a hard concept. Now, let me tell you why. This is not just jot and tittle stuff. The reason this is important, and you can go to very learned men that have given their whole lives to studying the Bible and read commentaries. More than half, maybe two-thirds of the ones I've ever read, they all think it's talking about the Holy Spirit here. Now, let me tell you why that's important. Still today, there are people that teach when you got born again, what really happened to you was the Holy Spirit moved into you. They don't understand the concept of the rebirth, not really. Their idea of the new birth is that the Holy Spirit came in you to live. And they don't really understand that you yourself became a new creature. See, they don't really understand that. If you think that, see, if you think it's everything is the Holy Spirit, then now you're going to fall into all kinds of deception. Dave himself said for like 20 years or for a long time, he thought it was the Holy Spirit, kind of thinking along that line. He thought it was the Holy Spirit that set you free from sin. But then finally he corrected himself and he says, no, thank God for a pastor that will correct him. We're supposed to learn more as we go along, aren't we? And he says, no, I thought that forever, but it's not the Holy Spirit that set you free. If it was the Holy Spirit that set men free from sin, he would have set all the Old Testament saints free from sin. No, it's that new nature that set you free. So this is important to understand. It's not just jot and tittle. Okay, this is to understand your walk and really the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the new nature. They're two separate things. So let me read my notes here as we go along. I can't preach that much on each verse or we're never going to make it. Okay. Now, I said the Spirit of Him, which is one of those phrases. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that phrase, and also He'll quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Both of those phrases I thought was the Holy Ghost. I thought it was referring to the Holy Ghost. And most people think that. Dave taught us on the Born Again Trail that the first time the Holy Spirit is really mentioned in this passage is in verse 16. And we already read that one. It's the Spirit, capital S itself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there you've got both. The Holy Spirit, and He's bearing witness with who? Your spirit. Got that? All right. Now notice the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now be turning to John 3. I want you to see these, please. Jesus told Nicodemus that in order for a man to enter the kingdom of God, he has to be born again. In fact, Jesus was even more precise than that. He said you would have to be born of the Spirit of God. All right? Now you're about to underline some things if you underline in your Bible. John chapter 3, let's go through verses 3 through 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, he's talking to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. You ought to underline. Except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, now get this, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You see that? Born of water, that's your natural birth, when your mother's water broke. Born of water and of the Spirit. There is a born of the Spirit, a birth that comes from the Spirit of God. And unless you have that, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now here he says it again. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You got that? Now, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. If we did additional teaching, you can't just look on the outer appearance of somebody and tell if they're born again. You just can't tell. How can you tell? Hang around long enough and watch the fruit. Okay, that's another whole lesson. Now, Jesus is the first man since the fall of Adam to be born of the Spirit of God on planet Earth. You got that? At this moment, when he says this to Nicodemus, how many born of the Spirit men are there on planet Earth? Just one. Just him. Now, he is going to make it possible for the rest of us to be born again. But at the time he's saying this, he is the... See, I like how one preacher said it one time. I'd give him credit if I remember who he was. He said, really, God has only ever made two men. He made the first man, Adam. And then he made the last man, Adam. We're going to look at that one here in detail. He told the first man, Adam, now you go and make man. Isn't that right? I made you, made Eve out of you. Now you go make man. But then he had to make the second man, the last Adam. Okay? Now the last Adam is making sons of God. Hallelujah. All right. So he says, since Jesus, we know, is the first man. He says, you've got to be born of the Spirit. We know he is the first man born of the Spirit since the fall of Adam. So let's look at that. Go to Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, now get this, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Boy, if you underline, therefore. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now let's look at that in a little more detail. He says the Holy Ghost, I put in brackets, not a human, shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, because the life spawned in you, Mary, shall be spawned of God's Spirit and not from a fallen human. Therefore, because of that, that holy thing born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God is his Father, not any descendant of Adam. Did you get that? That's how it happened. Now, as a side note, the Greek word for seed, all through the New Testament, when you come to like Galatians 3:19, don't turn there. This is a side note. You can study more later. I just think this is great, though. Galatians 3:19 says, Wherefore serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come. Who is that? That's Jesus, till the seed should come. Do you know what the Greek word for seed is? S-P-E-R-M-A. Light bulbs all over the place. Sperma. It's Strong's G4690. He is the seed. You got born again of the living word, the living seed, when you got born again. Anyway, that's another whole message. I just couldn't pass it up. I just think that's so cool. Now, time for a visual demonstration. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the big, massive, mighty Holy Ghost up here. All right. Need somebody big. Now, we're not going to do running. He asked me, will there be running involved? I said, no, there won't be any running involved today. No. Today I need bigness because we're going to, for power. Angie, would you be my other demonstration on this? Okay. Because it's going to be a little embarrassing, but not too bad. But she works for me, so she has to put up with me. So you're right here. You're right here in front of me. You're Mary. Okay. Stand right here. Just face the camera. Come up right next to her. Now, we're not going to do anything strange. We're not told a whole lot. Here's what we're told. She's going to have a child. This child is not going to be fathered by any male, any human, any fallen descendant of Adam. Okay? All we're told is that the Holy Spirit, just kind of raise your arms up. You're going to overshadow her. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her. The power of the highest is going to come upon her. And when he's finished, there's going to be a child in her. Thank you. Thank you. Stay right there. Stay right there. Now, this child, its spirit, its life was of him. The spirit in this child is the spirit of him. But notice, it's not him. Can you tell the difference? The Holy Ghost is still the Holy Ghost. But now there's a child who has a spirit which is of him. Not of Adam. Not of the world. But a spirit which is of God. God the Holy Ghost. Did you know the Holy Ghost is sometimes called the Spirit of the Father? Amen? So this child conceived life, the first life since the fall of Adam, conceived in the womb of this virgin by the Holy Spirit. But it's not the Holy Spirit in her. It's a spirit of him in her. This is Jesus, baby Jesus. He's got his own human spirit, but it's not a spirit from Adam. It's the spirit of him. Is this helping you? You seeing this? All right, now stay right there for a minute and see if there's more here. Okay. Let me read through my demonstration. First off, the young Virgin Mary, hello Virgin Mary, is there with an empty womb, right? When she first walked up, empty womb. But the Holy Spirit came upon her, the power of the highest overshadowed her. Life from the Holy Spirit is conceived within the womb of Mary. And the Holy Spirit then withdraws from Mary, and Mary is now pregnant with the literal offspring of God. God. Feet, stay here. We got to teach. Stay here, feet. My feet are wanting to take off. Now we see three lives here. God, the Holy Spirit, is involved in this picture. Mary is involved in this picture. And Jesus is involved in this picture. But the Holy Spirit is a separate person from Jesus. Can you see that? The Holy Spirit is he's not suddenly come to live inside Mary. No, it's Christ in her. Now, this is a little different than you getting born again, but this will help us understand. This is Christ in her, literally in her. Okay? Jesus has his own human spirit born of God. Got that? Mary has her own human spirit. Now, where did her spirit come from? Adam and Eve. All right? See, and so that's why Jesus can be called Son of God. His spirit came from God, but his body, his physical nutrients, his makeup is from Mary, which goes all the way back to Adam. He is literally Son of God and Son of Man at the same time. Isn't that great? Good stuff. And I've got to say it over and over again, the spirit that's in this child is of him. It's not him. But it's of him. You got that? Okay, let me see if I got all this. Okay. Now, okay, I think you guys can sit down there. Let me have Jesus. I get to keep Jesus. You ought to have seen us hunting around our house for a baby. First one we found was a girl. I said, that will not work. No way. Sorry. Messes up the whole demonstration. Now, for 30 years, Jesus grows in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You can look this up later in Luke 2:49. Did you, even by age 12 at his bar mitzvah, and really before then, I think, they found him in the synagogue. Mary was so distressed, like, we've been hunting all over for you. And he just said to her, to them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? I think he knew before then, but I know for sure by age 12, he knew who his father was. That good stuff. Okay, now in your Bibles now, go to Luke 3. We're going to look at the baptism. So for 30 years, Jesus grows up. He grows in wisdom and in favor with God and man, grows in stature. All that time, he has the new nature, what we call it. It was his first nature, but he has the life of God in him. Yet he was tempted. His flesh was from Adam. He was tempted in all points just like we are. Yet that nature, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, caused him to be able to walk sin-free. And there it is, what Dave said. No, it's not the Holy Spirit that sets you free. It's that nature that sets you free. All right? So now let's come to the baptism of John. For 30 years, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, Jesus walked free from sin. All right? Luke 3:21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized, and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. I am well pleased. There's so much I always want to teach right there, but we don't have time tonight. But here's what you need to see tonight. We've got Jesus being baptized in the water. Within him is his own human spirit, the one that we saw in that demonstration a while ago, the spirit of him that he received when he was conceived in the womb of Mary. Now he's grown up, he's 30 years old, he's baptized by John in the River Jordan, and when that happens, the Holy Spirit, a different person, comes to baptize his spirit. Can you see there's two individuals there? Jesus has his own human spirit. Now his is born of God. Now we see the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove to baptize his spirit. And if that's not enough, we have the third member of the Godhead, the Father, speaking from heaven. You have all three in this one picture right here. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. They are not the same. They are individuals. Jesus has his own human spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to baptize, and we would also say anoint. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. So the Holy Spirit has come to anoint him for dominion. And we have God the Father speaking from heaven. You got all three individuals right there. You see that? The Spirit of him, the Spirit which was of him, of the Holy Spirit, was the human spirit in Jesus. You got that? Get the picture again. Little baby Jesus. The Spirit that's in him. Who is that? Who was his daddy? God the Holy Ghost, which is also called the Spirit of the Father. Okay? So the Spirit in Jesus is the Spirit of him. It's not him, but it's the Spirit of him. All right. It is separate. The human spirit within Jesus is separate from the Spirit that we call God the Holy Ghost. Two different persons, okay? Two different entities. Many theologians and commentators get this all mixed up. You ought to read. No, you really hadn't ought to read. The mental gyrations they go through trying to reconcile all these verses while they think that the Spirit in Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And you'll never make it work because it's not the truth. It is the Spirit of him, but it is not him. They're two separate individuals. Otherwise, how could the Holy Spirit come and baptize his Spirit? It's impossible. They're two separate beings. All right? The Holy Ghost raised Christ from the dead. But Jesus being raised from the dead was different from all those that were raised from the dead before him. See, go there. Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Boy, I love this verse. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Many people, no, not many, there were several people in the Bible raised from the dead. By the way, they all died again. And not one of them was raised to new life. Their old life was raised again. And it's the same old dead spirit they had before. But they were raised from the dead, but they weren't born again. They still had the same dead nature in them the second time that they had in them the first time. And they wound up dying again. But Jesus sets a whole new pattern. Jesus is not just raised from the dead. The Bible said he is born from the dead. How did that happen? How did that happen? Now see, here we go again. Many theologians, many churches will run you out of town on a rail if you ever suggest that Jesus died spiritually. But he did, or these verses make no sense. When it says that he was made sin, okay, go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's important that we get all these scriptures now. And I'm really paring it down. We could do weeks on this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. In the King James it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And that's pretty good. That's not a bad way to say it. But do you notice that "to be" is in italics? It's not in the original Greek. Look how strong this is. "For he hath made him sin." He hath made him sin. Jesus did not die. Well, you got to be careful when you say this. He did not die. Oh, man. If I say it that way, you might run me out of town. We get this pit. It is the righteous. It is the innocent dying for the guilty. But we don't understand. We have this picture that he remained righteous throughout that whole ordeal. The truth of the matter is, he is the serpent from Pharaoh's court. On that cross, he literally became sin and swallowed up the sin of the world into himself. His spirit went from light to dark. He went from righteousness to sin. He hath made him sin for us. He literally became the serpent. Oh my God. It's hard to imagine. His spirit went from life to death. And he did it for us. He hath made him sin. But after the price had been fully paid, and we couldn't possibly go from what all happened under the earth during that time that he, 3 days, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man suffer in the heart of the earth 3 days. We can't go through all of that, but we do know this, the price was eventually paid after 3 days, right? So how was he wasn't just raised from the, see, he had to be birthed again from death to life, because now he has become death. He has become sin. For God to raise him, just raise him like other people were raised, he would be raised as a sinful creature. No, he's not just raised from the dead. He has to be born from the dead. And it's very much like what happened the first time around in the womb of Mary. Now, look at Acts 13:33. And everything in me wants to turn there and get the whole thing in context and take you back to Psalm 2 and do the whole thing, but we just don't have time. This will be good enough. You'll get it. When Peter was talking about, this is Acts 13, when he is preaching and giving witness that Jesus has been raised from the dead, he quotes the second Psalm. And he's talking about Jesus being raised from the dead. And he says, Acts 13:33, "God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again." But how did he do it? Well, as it is also written in the second Psalm, "Thou art my Son." Now notice, "This day have I begotten thee." He is not talking about when Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary. Notice he talks about, this is what God said when he raised him from the dead. "This day have I begotten thee." You see it? When the price had been fully paid, God spoke from heaven. And here's his Son who became sin, suffering for us, whatever tortures he went through there, paid the price in full. And finally, God said, the price is paid. Now God from heaven says, that's enough. This day, God speaks. And God said, this day have I begotten thee. And the Holy Spirit, like he always does, he manifested the spoken word of God. Can you see that? It's very much the Holy Spirit came up. Now, if you can picture Jesus, it's hard for me to picture Jesus with a sin nature. But that's exactly what he did. He became the serpent for us. He literally became sin and took all the sin of the world into himself, paid the price for us. But then God says the price is paid. If you can picture, however you picture Jesus suffering in hell, the price has been paid. God says, this day, not the first time when in the womb of Mary, this day have I begotten thee. And at that moment, the power of the highest overshadowed him. He was literally born again from death back to life. And once more, the life that was in him was of him. You got it? The life, it was quickened from death to life. And once more, that spirit on the inside of the human Jesus. Now, once more, it's him. It's his own human spirit. But it is of him, God the Holy Ghost. Can you see that? Now, I got some questions. I'm going to go through it like from several different ways till we get this. By the way, the same thing happens to each and every one of you when you get born again. Same thing happened exactly. Now, number one, who raised Jesus from the dead? I'm going to answer these for you. You don't have to answer. Who raised Jesus from the dead? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes called the Spirit of the Father. Now, you could say the Father because the Father spoke it. This day have I begotten thee. Y'all ever read Genesis 1? And God said, and the Holy Spirit did, right? Everything God said, the Holy Spirit did. So when God says, this day have I begotten thee, the power of the highest, the Holy Spirit overshadowed him and rebirthed him from death to life. Spirit came alive again. But how did he do it? By quickening the human spirit of Jesus from death to life. It is a begetting. This day have I begotten thee. It is a birth. It is a begetting from death to life. It is the born again experience. I have had preachers rail on me for teaching that Jesus himself was born again. It is the truth. I have broad shoulders. I can take the railings. Okay? But it is the truth. Otherwise, how could he be the firstborn from the dead? There is no way. Okay. Now, in much the same way that the Spirit of Jesus was first generated in the womb of Mary, so now the Holy Spirit regenerates that Spirit in Jesus again. When Jesus comes from death to life, it is his reborn human spirit within him. But that spirit in Jesus is of him that raised him from the dead. You got that? It's not the Holy Ghost in him, but it is of him because it's the Holy Spirit that regenerated him. Okay? The spirit that dwells in you is your own reborn human spirit. It is of him that raised Jesus from the dead. Same Holy Ghost that generated him. Is the same Holy Ghost that generated you. It is of the Holy Ghost, but it's not the Holy Ghost. That same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead shall also one day quicken, make alive your mortal body. Now, Jesus at this moment is the only one that's had this born again experience all the way to the end. As far as I'm understanding, he is the only one in heaven that has his glorified body. Paul wrote in Romans 8, he said, we're waiting for something. We're groaning while we wait. What are we waiting for? The redemption of our bodies. Jesus already has that. He has already come through being born again, and the Holy Spirit, through the life that's in his spirit, has quickened his mortal body. How many know Jesus' body is no longer mortal? It's no longer subject to death. Boy, I'm looking forward to getting that one. How about you guys? I'm looking forward to that one. So Jesus, he has gone all the way through this process. He has a glorified body, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. We have experienced the spiritual rebirth part. But we have not yet experienced the regeneration of our body. But how many of you know that day is coming? And while we're waiting, we groan within ourselves. And that's why mortification, and that's why fasting. For years I thought, I thought Jesus was just kind of being mean to us. Why did he leave me in this old nasty body? He had to. You can't have authority on this earth unless you have a body from this earth. His body is no longer from this earth. Well, I take that back. He does have a body from the earth. We are that body. That's why he had to leave us in these things. He's not being mean to us. There's no other way to do it. In the same way, while he ministered here, he had to have a spirit from heaven and a body from the earth. Now, he's seated at the right hand of God. He has regenerated our spirit from heaven, but we still have a body from the earth, and that's why through us, he has dominion here. And if he doesn't have dominion through us, the kingdom of God is not going to be manifest here. We have got to grow up and understand the authority that he has really given us. That's really the only reason that he's left us in these things. And if we can't learn to walk in the authority, the whole purpose is so we can have authority in his name here. Hallelujah. The spirit that dwells in you is your own reborn human spirit. It is of him that raised Jesus from the dead. It is of the Holy Ghost, but it is not the Holy Ghost. Now, if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, he dwells in you. But now there's two in you. There's you in you. There's you in you and the Holy Ghost in you. But even then, it's two separate individuals. Now, the Holy Ghost, he flows out of you like a river. He flows out of you like a river, boy. That's a whole nother lesson. He has literally baptized. He has clothed you. He has anointed your spirit, that born again child of the living God that you really are. He has come and anointed you for one purpose. That is dominion. That the will of our Father be done on planet Earth. Same way it is in planet or in heaven. Where if it's a planet or not, I don't know. All right. That same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead one day is going to quicken all of our mortal bodies. And our bodies will no longer be mortal once that happens. Boy, am I looking forward to that one. Okay? Now, we can't get into this in today's lesson. If you want to hear the rest of that story about the glorified body, I got some homework for you. Go to daveroberson.org. Okay? Find the Born Again Trail in the series section. And you're going to find about midway down the page, there's this little paragraph that says Advanced Studies. If you click on that, I believe it's five new series that were not originally there. One of them is called The Glorified Body. The Glorified Body. I've never heard anything so masterful taught on it in my life. Okay? Now let me lead you in a confession based on all of this. I hope you remember the image of how the Holy Spirit came on Mary. And that life that was quickened in her, the life that baby that was conceived in her, that spirit was of him, but it was not him. You see the difference? All right. Say this after me. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. The spirit within me is of him, but it is not him. The Holy Spirit will one day quicken my mortal body to be glorified just like the body of Jesus. He does it by the spiritual DNA of the spirit that he's already placed in me. Amen. Now, you'll need to listen to Dave's teaching to understand that spiritual DNA. But see, the seed of your new, if you're born again, the seed of your glorified body is already in you. It's already in your spiritual DNA. Just like your physical body is in your physical DNA. There's a glorified body in your spiritual DNA. I really recommend Dave's series to you. Y'all got it? Got it? So the spirit that's in you is not him. The spirit that's in you is of him. And how did he quicken Jesus from death to life? By quickening that spirit. How did he birth him from the dead? By quickening his spirit from death to life. The same thing exactly that happened to you when you got born again. The more you study this out, the more it takes away all your excuses. Dave used to say this, and I wanted to go, no, it can't be. It's too horrible. Don't say it again, Dave. Don't say it. He'd say it again. We all want to think Paul got something more than what we got. Surely he must have received a bigger dose of the Holy Ghost or something, you know. He must have. And we for sure like to think Jesus, when he was born from the dead, surely he got more than us. But the truth of the matter is, the same life that quickened Paul from death to life, and the same life that quickened Jesus from death to life, is exactly the same life that quickened you from death to life. And if you're sinning, it's either because of ignorance or just because you want to. Amen?